Craveable Podcasts, Season 2, Episode 2. You can't always get what you want. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello again, and welcome to the Craveable Podcast, where real matters. We are your hosts, Ben and Katie, and this show is brought to you by Fossil Farms. We have a fun title for today's show, and that title is "You Can't Always Get What You Want." Ben, do you want to explain what we're poking at here?
No, I'm going to ask you a question. Why can't I get what I want? I want to order.
It's very good.
Here's an example of a call that we get. We'll start with that. We'll do some what we call in the film industry framing. I get a phone call 2, 3, 4 times a year looking for a very particular bird. And we carry, you know, exotic meat. We carry alligator, we carry camel, we carry kangaroo, we carry guinea hen. But we get a question for a very particular bird, a migratory bird, in fact, called the sandhill crane. Katie's nodding her head because she gets this question quite frequently, too. This is a very popular bird amongst the hunting community and conservation community. And we don't carry it as a wild bird that you have to catch yourself or shoot yourself and dress yourself and do all that hard work. And it's not regulated and things like that. Apparently, it tastes amazing. And we've used this term for things like the magray duck breast. But allegedly, sandhill crane is phenomenal. The breast meat is extremely tender. And it's the ribeye of the sky. And that's how you always see it. But we get this question quite often because we're known for doing a lot of meticulous sourcing. And we're able to get you these things, and we have a reason for why we can't get you certain things. And there's a good reason why I can't get you sandhill crane, so stop asking. And that reason, actually, no, I do love the question because it makes for a great conversation in the middle of the day. The reason you can't get sandhill crane is because it's not farm raised. And because it's not farm raised, it doesn't go through any USDA or state inspection. And that means you don't know what you're getting. Now, I don't want to eat worms. I don't think you want to eat worms or parasites or anything else. I want my meat to be inspected, to be honest. I want there to be regulations, strong, strong regulations on what you're consuming. Please.
Yeah, definitely.
And while I'm sure we wish we could get these for our customers, sandhill crane can only be hunted in what they call migratory flyways. And I believe that to be from like Louisiana to the Dakotas up into Canada is kind of the path that they take. And those states have some seasons for hunting sandhill crane. Book a trip to Wisconsin. Enjoy yourself on your hunting trip. Bring me back some sandhill crane. But that's the only way you're going to get it. And there's a couple other things that we get asked for. And there's a lot of reasons that we can or can't get these things. And I'm sure you know a couple. I mean, you get this question more often than I do since you deal with a lot of our amazing web customers. And they are particular customers, which is a great thing for us because we have all the answers. And we hate saying no. Why do you have to say no to these people?
Yes. Yes. Great question.
No.
So, no. It's, yes. I mean, it's a lot of the reasons for no pretty much stem back to what, you know, you just explained. A lot of questions we get are about moose and about bear. And the simple answer, basically what Ben just said, there's no such thing as a bear farm or a moose farm. You know, these things are not commercially farmed. And
not in the United States.
Okay, yes, we're just talking about the United States. And there are, it's illegal to sell wild game. It's illegal to commercially sell something that has truly been hunted and killed in the wild. So yes, people eat those things, but it's only the only way you can get them is, you know, going on a hunting trip or knowing someone that hunts. And, you know, because it is illegal in this country to, like I said, commercially deal and sell in, you know, game meat that's truly just been, you know, caught in the wild, of course we can't sell these things.
Right.
And, you know, it is tricky. I mean, I have seen, I think we talked about that sketchy website before that we won't mention, but there is like a couple sketchy websites that have all types of meats listed on them. And I don't have, I have zero faith that, you know, that's legitimate. But there are a lot of things that we can't get for those reasons. And then, of course, there's straight just conservation. You know, there are endangered species out there that you can't kill. You know, you can't eat them.
Yeah. there's wild bison, but you can't go out and hunt them. They're a very endangered species, a very, very protected species. Mm-hmm. And one of the big reasons that they started conservancy through sportsman programs in general, I know that there is, and I think we were looking at this article, is there's a congressional lobby for sportsmen in the United States. And for good reason, because if you just have everybody go out there, especially commercially hunting things in the wild, populations would disappear. What happened to the American bison, to the American buffalo? It basically disappeared. They allegedly, and we can back these numbers up, they say that about 350 bison are true wild bison from an original lineage in the United States. And the like 500,000 or so that exists still in this country, the majority of that's farm raised or placed in certain places for conservancy. So the bison that we carry literally would not exist for you to put on your plate if there weren't these conservation efforts in place. And then extend that to other game, beavers, otters, sandhill crane. I mean, even goose or starlings. I mean, there's stories from the 1800s of giant flocks of small game birds that you would just shoot at and take out like six or seven and take them home. I think we might have talked about this on a different episode. And those birds all but disappeared because they're easy pickings, and there has to be some conservancy in place. I mean, we've talked about what factory farming does. That's someone purposely raising an animal for its consumption and not getting any sort of respect that that animal deserves. How do you think we're going to treat the outdoors? Mm-hmm. You know? So it's great to have those things in place, but there are wild things that we carry. And mm-hmm. why do we do that? Why can we carry things like wild boar and wild caught kangaroo?
Oh, is that that's not
oh, a that's a question, question, not a rhetorical question. It's a literal question. That's an actual question.
Yeah, so there's, you know, just I think that the word conservation can also mean basically the opposite. So the, you know, 100% wild feral swine in Texas cause millions, if not more.
Yeah, hundreds of millions of damage.
Yeah, agricultural and other damage in that state and in really any state where they are annually. They're a complete nuisance. And so everyone can, you can go and just freely shoot as many wild boar as you want. And similar.
With any type of arms, by the way.
Interesting. Including your own. it's similar to like that with kangaroo. You know, in Australia, kangaroo, I mean, they're like white-tailed deer around here, if not worse than that. You know, they,
which are also under a conservation program, is that white-tailed deer, as much as we hate them and hate to see them, they would basically not be in the wild if it wasn't for conservancy programs.
Yeah.
Double-edged sword, I suppose.
Now, I will say, I don't want to like gross anyone out, but they, even though it's pretty much go, you know, get all the kangaroos you want, they are very strict about, you know, the state of Australia, the country of Australia is very strict about how they have to be harvested. You know, it can't be any females. It has to be a male kangaroo, and it has to be killed with a single gunshot to the head. So they are very particular about it. Of course, everything is different.
And it's inspected when it gets to the facility. So if it's taken out properly, they still inspect the meat.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what that's what makes that, the legality from a commercial aspect, you know, feasible. But yeah, I mean, I think just to touch back a little bit, that article you were talking about, I think I read in there that all started many, many, many years ago when, you know, before we had really any regulations in place and people were, you know, hunting for food,
commercial
for their
trappers,
families.
Furs, hunters.
Yeah. And then it became
westward expansion.
Was this in the 1800s or?
Yeah. Like mid 1800s.
Yeah. And so people just were like, okay, well, you know, you're hunting for your family. Right. But then let's say Joe Schmo is a great hunter and he wants to go kill a bunch of bison and make money off of it. And then whoever else, what, you know, and so then quickly the populations began to diminish and they were like, okay, we can't.
Correct.
We can't do this. It's not legal.
Correct. And other animals are affected by that same thing because it's not just the meat. And in fact,
that
I would
say, what I meant. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I meant when I said conservation from the opposite side is like these animals that are either non-native or just causing or just they're so populous that they're causing destruction, not only to, you know, the environment or to farms, but they can severely endanger or even eliminate other species in their environment because they're so prolific.
Exactly. And that's why those programs are so great and why we're big proponents of something like the feral swine / wild boar program that exists in Texas. And we do also carry wild boar that's farm raised. because we want to have a variety and there's differences in both. And I think it's fantastic that we do that kind of conservation, because if we didn't do it, we would have issues like we did, I think it was back in like 2003, 2004, they finally banned African lion meat from being sold. But the issue with that industry is that they weren't raising these lions for their meat to begin with. That was a byproduct of them raising lions for their skin and their bones, which I think is deplorable. But because African lion's actually not endangered, it wasn't on any of the lists to stop it from being imported in the United States until some other laws took place. And now you can't import African lion meat. I can guarantee you, you will find menus post 2004 with African lion on it. Take that as you will. But these regulations are in place for our protections and for the protections of these particular species. Because I don't want to eat lion meat.
And the world.
Yeah, and the world in general. And it's not just, you know, lions and bison and tigers, oh my. It's elephants. It's iguanas, it's different reptile species, it's tropical fish. I mean, there's so many things that people just want to take advantage of, and we have to stop it. Or, I mean, this is nothing to do with meat, but like those bird nests that they collect in China.
Bird nest soup.
Yeah, for so bird nest strange. Soup. Like things like that. Like these are non-fact-based cultural things that you can't. What can you say to be like, oh, like you shouldn't do that? And they're like, well, I've been doing this for so long and it's a cultural thing. What can you say? You have to kind of acquiesce for certain things. I'm not about it. I wish it was banned. What can you do? But there's other things in place for us to protect ourselves where we can, which is in the United States. I know that for a long time, or we continue to get questions about iguana, particularly in Florida, because that's a super invasive species. Mm-hmm. And you can import and sell iguana meat in the United States. However, you cannot hunt and sell iguana meat on a commercial level in Florida yet, mostly due to mercury levels, is my understanding. Feel free to fact check me. But if you saw iguana, is one of those things where I'm like, yeah, maybe I try it, but like, are you really pining for it?
No, it definitely would taste like a reptile, which I'm not really into.
Yeah, I'm not into reptiles. Reptiles aren't great. Don't eat them.
But I will say there's also another driving factor to things that, you know, not just us here at Fossil Farms, but any, you know, meat sourcing company or wholesaler might not carry. And that's almost goes to become cultural, right? Like frog legs. And that's popular in some places. I think it's something that maybe used to be a little more popular, novel many, many years ago. Shortly before I started working here, we did carry frog's legs.
And turtle.
And around when I started, we had carried turtle, and, you know, we decided not to. And that's not because it became illegal to carry those things, but as a, you know, company that has to, you know, have employees and keep the lights on, it doesn't make sense to, you know, purchase a product that the public doesn't have interest in.
Right.
I mean,
just for that one-off, once a year, twice a year thing.
It doesn't make sense. And so, of course, you have to do, you know, what makes the most sense. But I think those things clearly change over the years as the standards of, you know, the American public vary and trends vary and what's hot. You know, I mean, elk has been really, really on a run for the last couple of years here. For good reason.
Yeah. And the commercial viability of it.
And the commercial viability, exactly, as well. Because it does have to be commercial. Again, it's not just like wild, hunted, you know, whatever the case may
be.
But there is also other discerning factors sometimes when you can't find something that you want.
Right. And I was telling this to a woman I spoke with, a lovely woman from Arizona, who was saying, yeah, like there's places that do carry elk and they do carry deer and venison meat. And I imagine they've a couple different species of deer over there, and she could get it, but she can't just go to a butcher shop and get it. It's ironic that you can go into your backyard and take out an elk that we couldn't do in New Jersey. There are no elk in New Jersey that I know of. And I'm certainly not going through the process of trying to get a hunting rifle in New Jersey. I don't have that much time, but we can go to grocery stores down the road from us, mainly because we supply them with some elk meat, but also because there's that demand in New Jersey being so populous, so diverse, that people want to get these things and they are readily available. But in Arizona, you can't get the thing in a store that you can see out your window. And that's because of commercial viability, because they're not farm raised and they don't want some sort of deregulated meat going into the market, which totally makes sense. But it begs the question, you're in a place like Scottsdale, Arizona, right? It's not a food desert. There's plenty of people there.
Isn't
it's a
like
huge
a
metro area. It's surrounded by the literal Sonoran desert. But there's ways to get things there. And I think they actually have giant, I forget what distributor is based out of Scottsdale, but there's a big food distributor based out of that area as well. So it's just one of those things where you're wondering, like, why can't I do X, Y, and Z? It comes down to one thing, and it will always come down to one thing, and that is the almighty dollar. End of story, right? There's obviously protections in place for certain things, but it's good for you to ask these questions for us, dear listener, because we want these things to be available. We want people to be asking, because eventually someone's going to go, you know what? I need to start a farm for this and get this out to the people, because it is great. That's what happened with ostrich.
I was literally just
touch on that. Touch on that, because this is still a problem for the ostrich industry as we try to have it go from a hobby industry to a commercial industry. Is that volume needs to be there. People, you need to be eating ostrich so you can get ostrich.
So, you know, ostrich right now is has been pretty scarce around here.
Yeah. And we won't go into all the details. It's quite a whole story. Maybe it'll be its own episode. But
it's costly. It's always been costly. Right now, it's more costly than ever, and with good reason. I mean, you know, we work with an awesome farm partner, and ostrich is not a super popular protein in the United States. It's not. I mean,
the demand is very high.
The demand is very high, but
it's not like beef.
But it's not high enough, because the thing that needs to happen is the ostrich farming industry needs to grow, as you said, from more of a, you know, hobby to something that's large and commercial and has more players and has more suppliers and has more outlets for where that product is going to go. And so it does come down. I mean, I think our idea of the demand is absolutely skewed.
True.
Because we literally, that's our flagship
that's
protein.
So true.
And people come to us for ostrich literally every day, multiple times a day. But in general, there's not enough demand for that protein. And that's what's going to keep that cost so high. You know, once that industry becomes bigger and more commonplace and more commercial, that's when you get more processing plants, you know, more demand, all the things that are so, you know, not so, but more difficult to do in the process of raising an ostrich and then getting it to be a steak on your plate,
right?
Those things will be easier for the farmer to achieve, which in turn will, you know, lower that price point.
The animal part's the easy part, really. I mean, we know Lance's brother, Todd, raises ostrich. We know he's very, very good
very
at
good
it. He
at
is
it.
The ostrich whisperer.
He is.
And we know factually that ostrich take up significantly less land, use up significantly less water than a beef cow. We know it's way better for you. We know it can be cheaper to raise when all those factors are in play, but the volume just isn't there. I mean, look at something like the beef industry. Up until 30 years ago, the flat iron steak did not exist. Where's the ostrich flat iron? Where's the muscle in the ostrich that we don't know about that can be properly butchered at a commercial level to make it viable, to use these muscles that are totally different than off of a beef cow or beef cattle? And then to turn those things into steaks and fillets, into different cuts, and to be able to sell that animal properly. Those things don't exist because there's not that industry standard, because the industry isn't commercialized enough, which I know is so crazy, because I don't think I really want many things to become more commercialized. But in a way, having the power and money behind the industry is what would make it cheaper and make it more viable and make it more accessible.
Yeah.
And it's so good for you that it should be accessible. But those are the challenges that we run into all the time here in wanting to say yes to people and wanting to be like, yeah, I'll get you ostrich fan fillets and ostrich oyster steaks and ostrich drum rounds and things like that. Cuts that don't exist outside of literally that animal and emu. Two birds, and they have a totally different anatomy than anything else that we're cutting down. How do you bring that animal into a processing plant that's been doing beef for 75 to 100 years, and you go, break this down.
I mean,
they can't. They literally can't.
It's entirely different equipment. I mean, and that's part of it. When you think about all the costs involved, I mean, you know, there aren't ostrich processing plants all over.
Yeah. No, there's like a handful, and you have to get your birds there. That costs
It costs
hundreds
so much
of
money.
Thousands of dollars.
A plant that processes cows or chickens or pretty much any other animal needs entirely different equipment to process ostrich. It's so
specific. They can't. They
cannot,
by regulation, do the same animals.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and so all of that just adds to the cost.
What do you do with the leather? What do you do with the feathers? What do you do with the eyeballs that go into medical industry? That's totally different than how you're ended up processing cattle. And it's really fascinating, but it's one of those things that makes me mad.
You know,
because I want you to be eating ostrich and not be eating beef.
You should all eat ostrich.
I want you to eat beef too, but like sparingly.
but you know what's interesting too is about, like, you just mentioned the hide and the feathers and stuff, and you know the farmers utilize all that. But what's very interesting is some of the things we get. Like, I found this fascinating. Alligator, for example, that entire industry is solely focused on the hides.
Right. The meat's the byproduct.
The meat is a byproduct of raising the alligators for their hides. And so depending on how the alligator hide industry is moving or what is needed, that literally directly affects the supply of alligator meat.
Am I hearing you correctly? Are you saying that we have to take a work trip to Milan in Italy and see what the fashion industry is doing?
No, you're not hearing me.
It's for gator purposes. It's for gator meat purposes.
No,
I'm going to Milan.
It's interesting. I remember times when it's like, oh, well, no, they're just not growing the alligators out to size because those aren't the size hides that are needed right now.
And you're like, well, I have customers who have alligator meat, and they go, that's the size. I'm like, stop saying the same thing. Help me figure this out.
It's very interesting. So there's a whole slew of reasons why you can't always get what you want. And it involves a lot of different chips in play here, a lot of things in motion, if you will.
And the gator thing makes sense, though, because gator meat is never going to be popular. It's not like some healthy alternative.
I mean, it is
healthy. But leather products in general are like kind of going, it's not unhealthy. But I wouldn't say it's like the way I look at like beef and ostrich being like, oh, ostrich is like literally like beef, but way, way, way healthier sort of thing versus like chicken and alligators.
Pretty much
basically comparable.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, it's just interesting for us because we're just focused on the meat, you know, the consumable product. And it's like, well, why can't we get it? And it's like, well, it actually involves a lot more than just you and what you want.
Yeah.
And it's a whole thing. I find it interesting. But did you, when you were poking around, did you find anything else out research-wise as far as, I don't know, any regulations or laws? I mean, we kind of talked about a lot of it, but...
Not too many regulations in place. I mean, we know that there's certain states that will, even if you're allowed to on a national level, raise these animals and slaughter them and sell the meat and stuff, that certain states won't let you do it. Like California, we touched on with the antelope and the gator and the kangaroo and et cetera. But other than that, I mean, it's mostly just places. It's either... you know, across the board, or do you either, it's like a black and white, like, yes, you can, or no, you can't, with like a few things in between. Like, for instance, bear meat, yeah, you're not allowed to sell it commercially, but for the very good reason of not wanting people to get trichinosis, not because of, you know, like, and that's the thing, that regulation's a good thing, because you want to make sure you're not eating poison meat. And trichinosis is disgusting. It's a parasite that gets in you and it can give you muscle spasms and lays eggs literally in your muscle tissue. And supposedly those eggs can calcify and stay in your body for forever.
That's,
right. Is trying bear meat worth that? Probably not.
I've had it. It was good.
You had bear meat? I'm so jealous. If we're going to segue real quick, the two things I really want to try, bear meat and beaver tail.
Oh, I heard beaver's like so fatty.
Yeah, I hear it's really greasy. I kind of want to try that. Give me that.
Bear was good. I really want to try moose. I guess.
Oh, yeah, moose would be on my list. But that's the thing. Like, there are things out there that people want to try. Like, I would try whale. I've not really heard great things about it.
I would not.
And the thing, there's non-endangered whale species. There's non-endangered shark species. I don't want to try. I mean, I want to try them and I have like a curiosity about them, but I don't want them to be like commercially viable, you know?
No, I mean, that's... But isn't it true that like native...
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Who does this with the whale? Is it like native...
Like Inuits would do it,
yes,
and then
they
also...
use every single part of the body of the whale.
Yeah, allegedly.
Right? Allegedly. At least in the past. But yeah, no, I mean, I think I understand why some things are not commercialized. I think, you know, I would like to try moose someday. I got the bear thing checked off. Not interested in eating lion. Things that eat other animals.
Yeah,
don't
I'm a big proponent
good.
Of not eating animals that eat other animals.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I
animals abroad.
Well, but
don't eat predators.
But I say this all the time. don't eat predators. If you think about all the regular and even the non-regular meats we eat, those animals are not carnivores. Like, that meat will taste funky. If it is out there hunting something, it will taste funky. Just like,
because who knows what it's eating?
No, you do not want to get a bear after hibernation. I'll tell you that. You want to get a bear right before when Correct. It's eating all those berries, and that meat will taste good.
Correct.
We really went off board there, off topic. Anyway, thanks for sticking with us, guys. This is a little rambly. Hopefully, we answered some of your questions. You can't always get what you want. Not in meat, not in life. Ben is laughing at me for some reason.
Stay positive, though.
Well, stay positive. And please like us, subscribe, follow us. If you're listening on Spotify, you really got to get on YouTube. It's way funnier. You can look at our silly faces. Look at Ben's silly face. And yeah, thanks for listening. Like, subscribe. We'll see you guys soon. 3, 2, 1.